What's up, everybody? I'm Billy Humphrey, and this is
Corey Russell,
and this is Gripped,
Awakening the Grown in a Generation for Revival and the Return of the Lord.
Let's go.
Let's go.
We are in Season 7, Episode 3. We're working through the Sermon on the Mount. In the last couple sessions, we've given an introduction, and we walked through the first four core values. What we want to do in this session is take the next four core values and just pick up where we left off in the last episode. So it's going to pick up right there, right after, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and it's going to say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
Yes.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Oh my goodness.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And those four are absolutely loaded.
Oh my goodness.
The rewards that are with those four blessed values, it's shocking on each side of them.
Yes.
And so it just requires us to slow it down. You know, because you can just read this through, make it the poster on the wall or the little napkin or whatever. And you just read it, sounds nice, but you don't really get the depth of this. And that's the thing that we're dealing with, is we want to come out of shallowness.
Yes.
We want to come out of frivolous Christianity, just having the name that we're alive, but we're dead on the inside. We want to actually live this stuff. We want to have a lifestyle that shows what we believe. And that requires us to go through this values transformation. Well, last session, we talked about redefining the blessed life.
Yes.
Redefining and understanding in light of these values. So let's just start with, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So for me, when I first got into like studying this value, it dawned on me that mercy is the prerequisite for mercy is that somebody actually has to do you wrong. They have to be deserving of judgment for you to be able to be merciful.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, being merciful to somebody who doesn't require mercy, somebody who hasn't done wrong in some way, someone who's not in danger of judgment, there's no mercy. That's not mercy. That's just kindness.
Yeah.
But for someone to actually need mercy, that's the person that you can be merciful to. And I'm telling you, if you'll just take inventory of your whole life and think about, when people have done you wrong, how have you responded? How often have you allowed the person that's done you wrong to get away with it, quote unquote? How long have you just taken that thing and handed it to the Lord and said, Lord, I trust that you will vindicate me in this.
Yeah.
Now, there are environments and there are sins and levels of, you know, brokenness, crimes, things of that nature where we believe like there needs to be justice served. So we're not talking about people who murder people and, oh, just let them get away with it or something of that nature. Most of us are not going to experience that kind of experience. But we are going to hundreds of times a day experience people crossing us.
Yes.
People mistreating us. People talking to us, you know, negatively or saying negative things about us. And if you spend any time on the internet, it's 10 seconds until somebody talks garbage to you. And I am so aware and alerted to how little mercy people show one another. Blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. What's interesting to me is not only is mercy something we extend to those who deserve judgment, but Jesus ties it to your receiving of mercy from the Lord in the day of judgment. To me, this is one of the most underrated, most essential values.
Yes.
And a people who are unmerciful will receive judgment. An unmerciful people,
my goodness,
will receive judgment. And the Church of Jesus Christ is called to be a merciful people. Jesus, we go on to say, if they hit you on the cheek, turn and give him your other. He says it in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
He says, if they want you to walk a mile,
go 2 miles.
If they ask you for your cloak, give them your outer garment. Give them all of it. Give them 2 garments as well. And those have to do with livelihood. There's depth on those understandings. But I want to call us to a fresh revelation of mercy.
Yes.
And when someone does you wrong, look at it as an opportunity to be merciful. How can you pray for mercy and release the offender instead of being your own vindicator? And this is something that I've just in recent days thought about. I had somebody do me wrong recently, and they scammed me out of some money. And in an online thing, they perpetrated to be one thing, and they lied and scammed me out of some money. And I was like, oh, God, and all those desires to just do them wrong, it just got up in me, and I wanted to do something. And I felt the Lord rise up in me and just say, extend mercy and share the gospel. Hmm. And that's what I did to the offender. I just extended him mercy and shared the gospel with him. But this is the revelation. God is my vindicator.
Yeah.
You won't be merciful if you believe you're your vindicator.
That's right.
But God is my vindicator. So if you do me wrong, guess what? He's my vindicator. So he might vindicate me by just paying me back, or he might vindicate me by judging you. But man, the liberty that comes on my soul... where I don't have to be my own vindicator, because I know he's going to vindicate me now or then or both. Oh man, now I can extend mercy, and I want to pray for mercy.
Yes.
I don't want to pray for God to get you. I want to pray, oh God, be merciful to them, because if they come under judgment because of their sin to me, I'm not like excited about that. I want them to turn to the Lord.
Yeah, I think about all of that. I remember a quote years ago. It's not about being right. It's about being free.
Mm.
And what Jesus is telling us, he's inviting us into freedom. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is inviting us into a real freedom, trusting our Father, our Judge, our King, to oversee our lives. And that if we can live with a free heart, it will invite the presence of God. Another thing is living with tenderness. We live with tenderness towards others in their faults against us. One, our tenderness is understanding the tenderness of God with us in our own sin. You cannot give what you haven't received.
Yes.
You don't have the ability to give. So the basis of mercy is the mercy we've received.
Yes. Yes.
The basis of me giving mercy to somebody else is me being fully always in touch over the mercy that's been given to me. I deserve hell. And in and through Christ, I receive heaven and eternal life and new creation identity, indwelling spirit, the life of God. I receive all of those things. And so out of gratitude, you know, the woman's been forgiven much, loves much. And the ones, when you stop, when you lose contact over what you've been forgiven, you start walking around with a clipboard over what people owe you.
Yeah.
And those things, you're not going to let them go until they pay their last cent.
Yes.
Jesus gave us parables on this. And guys, I just want to say to you, freedom. There's something better than being right. It's being free.
Yes.
I know the devil is all about rights and exacts, and this was wrong, and so it needs to be right. He wants you caught in the math game. God wants you in the freedom game.
Absolutely.
And to live free and to live buoyant is to where you can receive the presence of God and walk and run for a long time without anything getting in the way.
Absolutely. And I want to say this as a point of clarity. The application of mercy towards someone who has mistreated you does not in any way, you know, cancel the necessity of accountability.
Absolutely.
They work together. You can have a merciful heart trusting in the vindication of God and also call someone to account.
Yes.
At the very same time.
You can do both at the same time.
And you can have a merciful heart while holding a line on accountability.
Yes.
And I think that is a critical thought. But what happens with people is they at times they will try to hold someone accountable and the person maybe doesn't respond, and then they get into unforgiveness, and that puts a hook in them.
Yeah.
And I've watched people that have been done wrong at some time in their life, and they got hooked in unforgiveness without extending mercy, and it stayed with them their entire life. Yeah. It literally derailed them for 15 and 20 years because they were unwilling to release and to release mercy and to trust in the vindication of God. But we could spend an hour on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
2 hours.
Let's keep moving. Purity.
Yeah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall
see God. Okay. I can't think of anything greater.
Okay. The reward.
I can't think of anything greater.
This reward is a real reward. This is a reward for the age to come and for now.
Yes.
This is about engaging with God in greater dimensions and revelations of who he is, seeing who he is in an unveiled way, because your heart motive is clean.
Yes.
Pure in heart. So often I've heard this taught, blessed are the pure in heart, and they just, blessed are the pure, and then they just make it, blessed are the sexually pure.
That's right. That's
and
right.
They just reduce this thing to sexual purity, which I'm all for sexual purity, but I'm pretty convinced that has nothing to do with what
totally
Jesus
agree.
Was saying there.
I totally agree.
Pure in heart has to do with your motives,
yes.
Your ambitions, what's driving you, what is stirring in you, what you're after. Are you trying to one-up the last guy? Are you trying to have power and position? What is your motive? What's going on the inside? Is there a clean motive in there? Is it intimacy with Jesus? Is it closer to him? Is yes. this your motive? Is it to bless and serve and lift others? Is this your motive? Or is self at the center of your motivations? And to me, when self is at the center of your motivations, that is the antithesis of meekness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When Jesus is at the center, that can enable you to be meek and humble. When self is at the center, self always gets exalted and your motives get completely twisted and perverted.
Purity of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, because to have that silence on the inside, people aren't a means to my end.
That's huge.
That's the big point. If I were going to say, people are not a means to your end, and we live in such a transactional world, people, I'll buddy up to somebody for them to open a door for me. And when you use people like that and you manipulate people like that and you're coercing through language, we're going to talk about that because that's the corrections Jesus hits later. When you're using your speech to get into rooms using people, then there is a toxin that gets on the inside
yes.
of you. And I'll tell you what the greatest loss in all of that is, you lose the face of God.
Jesus.
You lose the spirit of revelation on your life and for the countenance of God resting upon you. And that sense of face-to-face intimacy, because there's so much traffic inside of you. Motives, ambitions.
Yes.
Reasons why you're doing anything. If it's about using people or using situations, coercing, manipulating, fixing for your own end, then you're going to find darkness enter into your soul and a loss of the face of God.
Absolutely. I'm thinking about John the Baptist when he said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him, granted to him by heaven.
Yes.
If you could get that truth anchored into your heart, it will filter your ambitions.
Yes.
Right?
Because
then you're not figuring out who you can rub shoulders with to hopefully get on their platform or get on their stage or get their sphere. It's literally recognizing that Jesus will make of you what he desires. And here's what I want to tell you. You don't want to be anything more than what he desires, and you don't want to be anything less than what he desires. What he desires for you, the good works that he's prepared for you beforehand, that you should walk in him, that's all you want.
That's right.
And men will spend their entire life trying to, like, increase their sphere, and they'll spend all their energy, all their money, all their emotional souls, traffic, and they get a 0.5% that lasts for like 6 months.
Yes.
All that work, because you'll never receive more than what has been granted you by heaven, just like John the Baptist
said. Yes. You don't want anything more than what God's had for you. Friends, I want you to exhale and just say, Lord, I want to live in what you have for me.
Yes, the liberty of
it. I want to live in what you have for me. And what you don't, I don't want it.
Yes.
That is purity of heart. That's where he wants us. It's free. It's buyant. And it attracts the glory of God. And friends, the reward in this, do not lose it. It's his face.
His face.
The God who commanded light to shine in the darkness has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Friends, that's your reward. Let's keep moving. Guys, every one of these are 30 minutes an hour. Every one of them by themselves.
We are giving you the quick hit introduction to each one of these values. You could spend, we could spend an entire hour or two on each
of every one of them.
All right, so we said, blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see the face of God. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. And what's in that revelation?
Is it peacekeepers?
It's not peacekeepers.
Oh.
It's peacemakers. But what is packed in this revelation, it's so full. I don't know the word.
I would call it, this is the definition of an intercessor.
Yes.
Living in the gap, living in the tension, until there's reconciliation. It's that ministry of reconciliation.
Absolutely. So the most simple form is helping others come to, you know, unity and reconciliation in a conflict, being that style of a person. But that is, I would say, like the 101 of this is actually about. All right, so most people, this is why Corey mentioned this, most people are peacekeepers, and it's what it is in a conflict or in a disagreement or in something that is, you know, difficult, they will try to keep the peace by keeping their mouth shut.
Yeah.
Instead of speaking up for truth or speaking up for the kingdom values, they'll just sort of back away, and that's peacekeeping. And we are not called to be peacekeepers.
Right.
We are called to be peacemakers. And the reason why we don't want to step up, the reason why we want to step back when there's conflict, is we don't want to extend ourselves in that way. We don't want to risk it. We don't want to ruffle feathers. And so we, quote unquote, keep the peace. But let me tell you something. We're not keeping the peace when we do that. We're keeping the conflict.
That's right. That's right.
We're allowing the conflict continue. So peacemaking is, it's not inserting yourself in a negative way, but it's stepping into the gap, like Corey said, as an intercessor, and recognizing that the King peacemaker is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He came and made peace through his cross.
The blood of his cross.
He laid himself down for us. And that in and of itself is what is under this value. It's laying yourself down for others, for their blessing, their benefit, their reconciliation, their life. Laying yourself down, stretching yourself out and laying yourself down for others. And he says, and the reward is, you'll be called a son of God. Do you see the connection? You become most like Jesus when you're laying yourself down for others.
I just want to say to you, this is what it looks like practically when I think about it. Someone comes to you and they're processing an offense, a pain, a grievance against another brother or sister. This is what a peacekeeper does. They'll grab them by the hand and say, we're going to their house right now.
Yes.
We're going to their house right now, and you're going to tell them what you just told me.
Yes.
A peacemaker does not live in a silo. Gathering this offense and it's a conflict keeper is what it is.
Yeah.
And you're actually throwing gasoline on that thing to explode.
Yeah.
Peacekeepers get into the fray to bring true unity, not so that we're getting along and it's nice and fake. There is so much fakery. There's so much hypocrisy, superficiality, so much plastic hallelujahs. And there's not true unity and peace because we live in this, because that's the culture of this world.
Absolutely. And people don't realize how valuable this is to Jesus. They're like, well, man, I just told you that because I was just sharing. I wasn't trying to like...
Processing.
Yeah, I was just processing. I wasn't trying to like, you're going to make me go talk to so-and-so. Like, man, what's wrong with you? You're like inserting yourself. No, no, no. I'm living a value of making peace. Reconciliation, making peace. peace, laying myself down for you so that you can come to unity. Because unity is a value that we have so underplayed. It's so important for the glory of God to be manifest among us. We're supposed to be built together in the church as a dwelling place for God. Reconciliation, unity, that comes by the hand of peacemakers.
Yes.
And they should be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Let's jump in. Let's take these last minutes and talk. Jesus is going to bookend. Billy, and if you guys note, what he begins with, which blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness.
Yes, yes, yes.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He bookends it.
Yeah.
I'm asking you. You wrote the book on this, man.
No, you don't ever want to be the person that wrote the book on the thing. My book, I would encourage you to get it. It's a great introduction. It's got a study guide in it, but I am not trying to say, I'm a specialist on this.
I will ask you all the questions.
Yeah, never. So here's the thing. The entryway to the kingdom, poor in spirit. It says, blessed are the poor spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. That's the entryway.
Yes.
The outcome of living the values, now he's going to take us through all those values, is being persecuted. And that is the life of the kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom. So for me, he's saying,
are you saying that those embracing those values will get you persecuted?
It will get you persecuted. And Jesus says, I affirm that. Ooh. I bless that. I am for that. I favor that. This is the one that struck me just even this week. I hadn't even thought about it. The fourth value is blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled with righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. The eighth value, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness will get you persecuted for righteousness' sake.
My goodness.
And if this is what kingdom people should expect, it's what we should expect. We should expect, we put the thing on Twitter talking about Jesus and people start firing back at us in negative ways.
Yes.
You know, we're so used to the crowd patting us on the back. I'm just going to say, if you haven't gotten some legit persecution where they, like he goes on to say, where they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake.
Jesus really elaborates on this one.
Yes. If you haven't ever experienced that, I might say that your Christianity is hidden. It's not what he's going to talk about, salt and light, a city set on a hill. And that's what he describes in the next verses after the values is that we are supposed to be salt, we're supposed to be light, we're supposed to be a city set on the hill.
Sticking out.
Not hidden. And he's describing what happens when you live these values. I would just say this. One of the greatest activities of the purifying of the Holy Spirit in my entire life was when I said yes to the value system of the kingdom and I allowed the Lord to transform my values. And it doesn't mean, I've got them all down, but I live now leaning into those values and they're a plumb line for how I act, how I live, how I carry myself with my leadership team, with my relationships, my friends, my family. And when I am out of line with those values, I want to be called on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to repent and I want to get myself back in line, because if I'm out of line with those values, I'm out of line with Jesus. And I want that for you. I want your life to shift. I want the cleansing for you that comes when we put off the value system that we were raised with. We put off the value system that we learned in church all these years. And we put on the value system of Christ. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to a Christian and I'm like, they're like, somebody did me wrong and I'm gonna do this and that to them. And I'm like, have you ever heard of like, blessed are the merciful or... Blessed are the meek. You know, like, yeah, but you know what? You do me wrong. That's fine. But do me twice. I'm going to do you. You know, it's just what is this? What spirit are we of? What value system are we of? It is time that has to shift and we have to live the values of Jesus.
It's that taking persecution for righteousness' sake. Young people, God wants to deliver you from the opinions of people.
Absolutely.
God wants to deliver you from the words, the praise, and the rejection of people. He wants to get you out of their conversation and get you into standing with Jesus, standing for what Jesus says about about sexuality, about all the confusion of our culture, standing where Jesus is standing with a humble, tender, merciful spirit, but living in line with Jesus. I promise you, you'll be persecuted, but theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Father, release this, I pray, over everyone watching this right now. We pray for all eight Beatitudes to begin to grow on the inside. God, I pray that you would throw just awakening of these values, and that our interior environment, our spiritual interior environment would begin to shift.
Yes, God.
It would shift from heaviness, darkness, oppression, and weariness into buoyancy.
Yes.
Into light.
Do it, Lord.
Into this fluidity, God, that would begin to touch our inner man, free us in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.